All right, here in Revelation chapter 12, we see that something takes place, and this is actually an interesting passage because it gives us insight in a lot of what goes on in the history of Israel. And in this particular passage, we see that to start with, if you look at verse 1, and it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven." I want to stop there, not say anything, read anything beyond that, except for the fact that that phrase there, "there was a great wonder in heaven," it gives us an indication that this is a sign, this is a symbol that we're going to see of what took place. Now, I want to encourage you that remember something in the book of Revelation and much of the Bible as well, that we don't always see things the way the Bible describes them. And one of the reasons is the fact that God sees things differently than we do, and a lot of times he's describing them the way he sees them. Hold your place there in Revelation 12 and go through Revelation chapter 20. And I'll give you a good hint here. Verse 1 and 2 in Revelation 20, and it'll give you an example of what I'm saying. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." And look at verse 2. "And he laid hold on that dragon," that old serpent, "which is the devil and Satan." Now, why would God go to so much lengths to describe the devil like that? Because different times, remember the passage in the Bible, it tells us that the devil can appear as an angel of light. He changes his appearance. So God goes to great lengths to say, hey, he was the serpent in the Garden of Eden. He's also known as the dragon. He's also known as the devil. He's also known as Satan. And I want you to realize that that's what we're getting ready to see here in Revelation chapter 12. We're going to see some descriptions here, and things are not going to necessarily be easily understood unless you use the whole Bible to describe them and to analyze what God's talking about. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Let's go just start with verse 1. I'm going to read probably 6 verses or so. And it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, and Lord, this sounds like a strange scenario, but Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, as we use it completely, can clear up all that we just read. And Lord, we ask you to move in a special way in our services today, in our Sunday school hour, and Lord, let us see what you want us to see. And Lord, let us be, help us to be what you want us to be. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. All right, I want you to be seated. Go ahead and look at that first verse. And it says, And there appeared a wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. I want you to understand there are a lot of misconceptions about this woman. If you look at every once in a while, you'll see a banner or a poster or a picture on a door from time to time. And you'll see, and this there's this woman, and she's standing under, and she's got the sun and the moon under her feet, and she's got a crown with 12 stars on it. Now, there are a lot of people that the Catholic Church will tell you that that's Mary. But that's not Mary. That is not the Virgin Mary. In fact, Virgin Mary isn't mentioned in here until you get a little farther into the verse. And it's actually, she's wrapped up in the term Israel, or the woman. And it look, but who is this woman that has the stars on her head and under her feet, or the moon and the sun? Well, to understand that, you need to go all the way back to Genesis. Chapter 37. Genesis 37. And when you look at this, you'll get an idea of how much of the Bible we need to use so that we can understand it all, or as much as God intends for us to understand. And I'm not going to read all this, but I want you to look, and it says, verse 5, and it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream that I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? And shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. By the way, they hated him already because he told on them when they did wrong. But look at verse 9. It says, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Now, I want to stop there. This particular dream is giving us an indication as to what's going on in Revelation chapter 12. This is not talking about Mary. The Protestants, and by the way, I like to make this clear. I'm a Baptist. I'm not a Protestant. Okay? We never came out of the Catholic Church. That's what Protestants did. Now, praise God for those that came out of the Catholic Church, but they should have come out farther than they did. They kept a bunch of the bad doctrine, but we're not Protestants. The Protestants, the Catholics, believe that this particular woman in Revelation 12 is Mary. The Protestants actually believe that this woman is the church. Corporate church. I want to tell you something. They're both wrong. Because this particular incident is actually, God's given us an insight. This is none other than the country, the nation of Israel. Now, you say, well, how do you get that? Well, look at what it says corporately, all of it together. Don't just take, but to start with, where's You've got the sun and the moon. That's Jacob and Rachel. And then you've got also the 12 stars. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob represents who? Jacob is Israel. That's his name. I had a man yesterday. I gave him a tract. Somebody's angry about the weather phenomenons that take place, and with the that has to do with Israel and how we treat Israel and the bad things that happen when we mistreat Israel or get on the wrong side of her. And this guy said, are you telling me that Jacob, he was reading the tract while I was witnessing to the woman there, and he said, you're telling me that Jacob is Israel? I said, yep, sure is. I said, that was the name God gave him. And he said, I didn't know that. And I said, and also, he said, so the nation of Israel are the descendants of Jacob. I said, that's exactly right. Now, I got excited just for teaching him that, because there's a lot of people in this world don't understand that we need to be on the right side of Israel. We're supposed to, in fact, there's a lot of proof that it seems like that the United States was actually raised up to protect Israel. But I'm not going to go there, but I believe that it's good for the United States. It protects us when we protect Israel, when we help them and are their friends. But look at what it says in verse 2, and it says, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now this is, you say, who is that baby? That child that she's going to deliver is none other than Jesus, the Messiah. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, look at the next verse, and it says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. And what was he wanting to do? For to devour her child as soon as it was born. What happened was the fact that the dragon is Satan, none other than Satan himself. Now we saw that in Revelation chapter 20. But how many of you have ever seen these symbols, and they're all over the place? It really bothers me that people don't understand who the red dragon is. But here in this particular passage, we know who the red dragon is, and that's none other than the devil himself. The devil's the red dragon, and what was he trying to do when Jesus was born? What did he do? He had Herod get so upset when he found out that there was another king, there was a baby king that had been born, a king of the Jews had been born, and the wise men came to Herod and explained to him, where is he that was born the king of the Jews? And at that moment, Satan motivated Herod to do whatever he had to destroy that child. But you know how the story ends, just like I do. Hey, God supernaturally protected the Lord Jesus. Told the wise men, don't go back that way and talk to Herod. Don't let him know where he is. And gave him more time. An angel appeared to Joseph and told him, take Mary and the baby and get out of here. Go to Egypt until it's safe to come back. And they go into Bethlehem and kill all the babies from 2 years old and baby boys from 2 years old and under. One thing, I just can't imagine that being my orders. Somebody to give me orders like that. But if they didn't fulfill it, that if they didn't do it, they would be killed. Now, They'd have to kill me because I don't think I could do that. I'm going to tell you I couldn't do it. But that was God's protection over the Lord Jesus. You look through many times in the life of the Lord Jesus and you see where they were picking up stones to stone him and he slipped out. Now, how could he do that? Well, I mean, he's God. So how could he do it? Well, he could have blinded them to a point where they stayed blind until he got out of the way. He could have had them freeze until he left. He could have disappeared. However he wanted to do it, he wasn't going to die until his time, he had surrendered, he had it all figured out. Remember, God said from heaven, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why is he well pleased in Jesus? Because Jesus said every word right when he's supposed to say it. He took every step. He healed every person just according to God's plan. And there was no way the devil was going to destroy this baby. Where would we be if the devil had been successful? We'd be on our way to hell if we weren't there already. Praise God. But look at what else it says. By the way, that verse 4, it says, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven." That is an indication of the devil and his deception when he tried to overthrow God. And he convinced a third of the angels to follow him. Now, praise God, God's still got two-thirds of the angels, but the truth is he didn't need any angels to defeat the devil. He could defeat the devil and all those angels by himself. That's why the devil was trying to trap Jesus in the wilderness. When Jesus was led to be tempted of the devil in the wilderness, the devil was trying, he said he knew he could not defeat Jesus one-on-one. But if he convinced Jesus to sin, he would win. Because Jesus would not be the perfect sacrifice. He would, if he ever messed up, if he ever stepped out of God's plan, Jesus would need a Savior just like you and I, and we wouldn't have one. But here in this particular passage, we see that the devil's trying to destroy the child. This is an overview of what you see in history from Jerusalem or from Israel and coming down through the history of Israel as it pertains to salvation. God's plan was to use Israel. And by the way, if you go through the Old Testament and watch how God protects certain people, how God needed to protect, keep a line available because he kept, remember the Jews were about to be destroyed by a wicked man named Haman. And God stepped in, took over. The amazing thing to me is, and when they were taken and went into captivity, God still kept a pure line through the captivity so that Jesus could still come through the line of David. One of the things that bothers a lot of the Jews today is they've got a serious problem in the fact that they don't have any genealogical records. If their Messiah was to show up, the one that they suppose, because they reject Jesus as being the Messiah, and if they had a man show up saying, "I am your Messiah," which is what the Antichrist is going to do, by the way, and he's going to deceive them for a while. But how are they going to be able to prove that he's of the lineage of David? But you and I know that Jesus is of the lineage of David because we've got his genealogical record. both in Matthew and Luke. Now Matthew gives the lineage of Joseph, but Jesus was not directly related to Joseph or David through Joseph, because Joseph was not his real father. It was his heritage through Joseph that he goes back to the line of David. But it's through Mary that Jesus is related and fulfills the obligation of the scriptures to be of the seed of David. All right, let's go on and look at what it says in verse 5. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Go to Revelation chapter 19. It's interesting. I use the Bible Gateway on for my some of my Bible studies online, and you can do a study of a phrase or a word search, or if there's several words you want to pair together, you can do an exact search or a search of all verses that have these two words or three words or whatever. But what I like is the fact that I can type in the rod of iron, and I can find everywhere that that's found in Scripture. But one of the neat places that I find the rod of iron is, look at Revelation chapter 19, and it says, and I saw heaven, verse 11, and it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, I want to tell you, throughout history, there are not many people that can say in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, our country, while I'm on this subject, our country, the United States of America, has used that a lot of times to do good around the country, around the world. They take a little country like Kuwait being invaded by somebody like Saddam Hussein, and they intervene on the country's part. Now, if you fight for a country and protect them, you have a right in many people's eyes and throughout history of taking that country over. It's yours. But the United States has never had that philosophy. Why? Because in righteousness they judge and make war. That's where our country's been. They don't take war, or they don't make war for the sake of taking a country over. But look at what else it says. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. See, God's got all these things. The book covers everything. It'll explain itself. Where we get in trouble a lot of times is we try to suppose, or we try to predict what this is supposed to mean or that's supposed to mean. You let the Bible interpret itself. And anything it doesn't interpret, you be careful. But I like the fact that, hey, what's he going to do? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. When's that going to happen? Well, that's going to happen in the millennium when he comes back. That's what that's talking about. He's coming back at the end of the 7-year tribulation. He's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And that's going to be the honeymoon between Jesus and his bride. When are they going to get married? Earlier in chapter 19, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, and the honeymoon's going to be 1,000 years. Yeah, just wait till you see how long they're married. But that's not going to end. Amen. Forever and ever and ever and ever, and keep on going, and you're still not going to run out. Then what happens is Jesus is going to, you think he might carry his bride into the New Jerusalem? Sure sounds like it. That's their new home. Might carry her into the threshold as he's wiping away the tears, because we've seen the people at the great white throne judgment just prior to that judged those that loved ones that we've tried to win, loved ones we should have tried to win, people that we know, and we're going to see them. When they don't get saved, we're going to see them end up in that lake of fire. But look at what else it says. And it says, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This is where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and starting with verse 8, and he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What did he do? He ascended. Where did he go? Unto God and to his throne. To God's throne? Yes. And to Jesus' throne. If you look at Revelation chapter 22, Jesus, the Lamb, and God the Father share the throne in heaven. Now look at verse 6, and it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, when's that happen, preacher? That's going to happen during the tribulation period. We don't know a whole lot about that, because that has not happened yet. Okay, where is it, preacher? Some people call it Petra, but it's a place that God's prepared for the children of Israel when they're fleeing from the Antichrist during the seven-year tribulation period. Now look at verse 7. And there was war in heaven against Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. I want you to think about it. If you go to Job chapter 1 and 2, you'll see where Satan has access to God. In fact, if you study that out, Satan has to report to God every so often. That's what's going on there. But now, at this particular point in time, Satan has to leave heaven. He can't come back. He's not going to be back at all. And it says there was neither place found anymore in heaven. Hold your place there and go back with me to Revelation 20. Now, the first part of chapter 20 tells us about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But when you get a little farther, verse 10 tells us what happens to the devil. And it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They're still there. They've been there. For 1,000 years, they've been there. And they're still there. And it says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And look at this phrase here. It sounds similar to what we read a while ago in chapter 12. And it says, and there was found no place for them. First off, there was no place in heaven for the devil, so God kicked him out. Now there's no place in heaven for these people who were judged at the great white throne judgment. And where they end up? The same place the devil ends up, the lake of fire. Not because that's why what God chose. God wanted every human being to end up in heaven. It was not God's will. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you don't come to repentance, you end up in the lake of fire. God's made a way for everybody to go to heaven. But he's not going to grab you and twist your arm and make you get saved. It's got to be your call. All right, let's go back to chapter 12. And look at verse 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. See, there's those descriptions again, just like in Revelation 20 that we read a while ago, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You remember how Satan accused Job? Remember when Jesus was telling Peter, he says, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. And Jesus didn't say, I refuse to let him do it. But he said, just think about it, Peter, because I'm praying for you. And look at verse 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I think about James Chalmers, who I put his story on the back of our bulletin today. They loved not their life unto the death. They died trying to win people to Christ. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people that are dying around the world and have died. Many of them died so that we could have the Bible. Many of them died so that we could know the truth. The disciples, all but the Apostle John, well, obviously Judas died because he died of his own hands, but he wasn't saved. But all the other 10 disciples died trying to win people to Christ, testifying of Jesus. That's what happened to Stephen. That's what happened to Paul. That's what happened to so many throughout history. They loved not their lives unto the death. We do ourselves and the Lord a great disservice when we say, this is what I want, because we weren't created for what we want. We were created for what he wants. And he's going to bless in a mighty way when we do it the way he wants. What happens if Jesus says, Father, I know it's your plan for me to go to the cross. I know that all these people, from Adam all the way to the end of humanity, are counting on me to go to the cross, but I just don't want to. We'd be in trouble. Everybody. None of us would have a choice. We would end up in the lake of fire without any hope of going to heaven. And praise God, we've got a Savior. And not only us, but what's our responsibility? To tell others. To share it with others. To let them know, hey, this world isn't all there is. Praise God, there's heaven on the other side if you trust Jesus. But if you don't, there's an old saying, I had it on my business cards at one time. It says, eternity, it's hell without Jesus. And that's so true. Look at verse 12, and it says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That last 3.5 years, Jesus called the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. It's going to be just atrocious, just indescribable. And let's read right quick the last few verses. And it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half times. That's time, that's 1 year. Times, that's 2 years, and a half times, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Remember how God opened up the earth and swallowed up Korah in Numbers chapter 16 when Korah rebelled against Moses? Well, this is what God's going to do here to protect Israel. By the way, that was a protection of Israel and God's man leading Israel at the time. And verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's no more persecuted people throughout history than the Jews. And the only ones that come anywhere close are the Christians. And that's all because we trusted Jesus, but the devil hated the Jews because he knew from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the woman was going to have a seed, and that woman's seed was going to bruise his head. It was going to be a deadly blow. Oh yeah, he bruised the woman's seed when his feet were nailed to the cross. But guess what? We win. You put your trust in Jesus. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, you put your trust in Jesus. You call on him right now and you just say, Lord, I'm not worthy to go to heaven, but Lord, you made a way for me to go. So as honest as I can be, I just beg you, please forgive me and save me, Lord Jesus. And I will tell you, at that moment, he writes your name in the book of life. And he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Kind of an interesting, I love chapter 12 because it gives us so much insight in Jerusalem and in Israel and the Messiah and all that takes place, even through the tribulation. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we thank you for this blessed book. And so much that you give us, Lord. We just thank you for being so good to us and teaching us about how badly we need Jesus. But Lord, once we trust Jesus, then you give us a job to let others know how badly they need Jesus as well. Lord, help us to be the witness you want us to be. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.